Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. What a busy day in news. We have tons of things to get through, including the jobs report, the eviction moratorium, illegal immigration, Joe Biden's comments yesterday. But the number one story, if you caught any of the newspapers today, including the New York Post and even the New York Times, the number one story is still Andrew Cuomo. The governor of New York is in a lot of trouble after the AG report came out yesterday. New York Attorney General Letitia James confirmed that Cuomo did harass multiple women. I think the number they got to was 11. And this is what Biden had to say about it. This was the big question, because previously Biden had said, if this proves to be true, if they investigate and all these claims are true, then he should resign. Classic Biden. He puts himself in a real corner. You know, there's no wiggle room with his statements. So Caitlin Collins from CNN asked the first question about Cuomo. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Caitlin Collins, but I'm getting there because she does seem to ask. I'm not even getting there. I shouldn't say that. But for a CNN reporter, she's decent and at getting these questions out there. And I think at this point, you can't avoid this. You have to ask him. You can ask about ice cream flavors for a while, but at a certain point, you know, you got to do your job. So let's listen to the question and Biden's answer, cut 10.
Back in March, you said that if the investigation confirmed the allegations against Governor Cuomo, then he should resign. So will you now call on him to resign, given the investigator said the 11 women were credible?
I stand by that statement.
Are you now calling on him to resign?
Yes.
And if he doesn't resign, do you believe he should be impeached and removed from office?
Let's take one thing at a time here. I think he should resign. I understand that the state legislature may decide to impeach. I don't know that for a fact. I've not read all that data.
Now, how I take that, and there's different theories out there, but him saying, let's take this one step at a time, he doesn't want to confirm that he believes they should do that, is that he's hoping that this little bit of theater, him calling for him to resign, might go the Northam route, where, you know, a couple weeks passes by, nothing happens, and then Cuomo's fine. And a lot of people think that's going to be the case. I don't agree. I think when you have people like Pelosi and Biden calling for you to resign, it's tough. So this was everywhere. It was on all the newspapers. It was even on CNN, as Brian Stelter was so proud to point out, we've been having scathing coverage of Governor Andrew Cuomo. To be fair, their definition of scathing coverage, they're putting it next to the Q-tip, you know, sketches that they used to do on CNN. So, you know, anything that's not comedy routines with the Cuomo brothers, in their minds, is scathing coverage. But CNN was talking about it yesterday. Unfortunately, Chris Cuomo, Fredo Cuomo, was not talking about it. And I have to play this. It is so bizarre. Chris Cuomo starts off his show. He's getting after it. This is cut 7.
Thanks for the coverage. I'm Chris Cuomo. Welcome to Primetime. We're focused on COVID here.
Oh, you're not focused on the Albany DA calling for the accusers to please reach out? You're not focused on the report coming in that your brother sexually harassed 11 people, including a state trooper, and the doctor who gave him his COVID test on national television? That doesn't interest you, Fredo? Weird. I wonder why. It was so painful that everyone on social media was just, after the show ended, said, all right, so not one mention of his brother. And if if it weren't for all of the interviews he had with his brother during the pandemic, where he was building him up as the next president of the United States, and they were talking about mom's meatballs and, you know, back in the old days, hey, then maybe it wouldn't be so bad that he's not talking about it.
Hey, paisanos!
But he has no problem talking about his brother when the coverage was good. He just doesn't want to talk about it now that, as the New York Post pointed out, his brother is officially a creep. They had a picture of Cuomo on the New York Post with just a huge creep right there on the front. And so he doesn't talk about it. But it gets even weirder because then he passes it off. I don't watch CNN, but I guess the way it goes is Cuomo's on, I think, at 9 and Lemon's on at 10, or maybe it's 8, 9. According to Howie, Chris Cuomo is CNN's number one guy, ratings-wise. He kept telling me that yesterday. He's like, Grace, Chris Cuomo's their number one guy. I said, yeah, it's CNN. Like, that's not really saying much. Their ratings are lower than, like, the Food Network. So he's their number one guy, but that doesn't... To quote Shania Twain, that don't impress me much. But he is the number one guy. I don't know if that's going to last, though, and here's why. Because when he handed it over to his best friend, Don Lemon, things got very awkward. So I want you to listen for these two things. One is they exchange I love yous, which I don't even think is uncommon for them. I think they do this a lot because it's been a couple rough months for Chris Cuomo, so he needs the support of his friends. And then two, watch the transition from a show that did not mention Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo's brother had an hour show where he did not mention Big Bro Andy. He transitions it, he throws it to Don Lemon, and watch how long it takes Don Lemon to talk about it. This is cut 8.
Yeah. The good news is there's always a chance for change, and hopefully we'll see that here, but our hearts and our thoughts have to go out to the families of these officers who took their own lives.
I'm going to make my witness, as you say, and you
make
know
your
what?
Witness.
I love you, brother.
I love you, D. Lemon.
All right. This is Don Lemon tonight. The calls are getting louder and louder. This is what I'm talking about. Top Democrats from New York to the White House calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign. That in the wake of the bombshell report from the state's attorney general that alleges the governor sexually harassed 11 women, including state employees and a New York State trooper.
Woo, D. Lemon. You might love Chris Cuomo, but you're definitely trying to get some ratings out of this. And I don't fault Don Lemon. It's a huge news story. He could potentially, with this news story, become the number one show at CNN. I mean, if your lead-in refuses to talk about the story that's on every national newspaper in America, he's kind of setting you up for success because you have it all to yourself. It's like what Howie and I say about, you know, journalism. There's certain stories that are so great that all of these Democrats with press passes don't want to touch. So it makes it really fun because you just have so many options. Don Lemon right now could talk about Andrew Cuomo, and he might actually get some eyeballs for once because the guy before him is radio silent on the whole thing. Now, another part of this Cuomo thing, and we're not going to talk about this all day. I actually have a lot of other things I want to get to, including the eviction moratorium, which is insane. We're going to talk to Brad Palumbo about that at 12:30. Really, really crazy story. And I have a great piece to read from The Washington Post, actually. Shocker. The Washington Post had a good day yesterday. A lot of, what do we call it, accidental journalism. I hope those people were writing under nom de plumes, because any of the journalists who, including Glenn Kessler, I don't think the Biden administration is going to be very happy with them. But we will get to all that. But I just want to talk a little bit more here about Cuomo, because yesterday he made this really strange video. It was a defense video where he tried to, you know, explain what happened. He also became the victim and he also was the hero. He championed sexual assault survivors, and it was all very bizarre. And the whole time he's playing a montage of photos of him hugging and kissing people. In appropriate settings, though. You know what I mean? Like greeting people. And someone put this really well on Twitter. They said, this would be like if you get accused of robbing a bank and you start showing hundreds of photos of you not robbing other banks, like standing in front of banks without robbing them. It doesn't mean that you didn't rob a bank. It just means that on certain occasions, you walked by a bank without robbing it. You're not innocent by any means. But one of the weirdest parts was he talked about Charlotte Bennett. She's one of his accusers, and she's a sexual assault survivor. And he specifically asked her very uncomfortable questions. He made strange remarks, asked her what she thought about, you know, being with older men, a lot of weird things. And he tried to explain this in his video. Let's take a listen.
She identified herself to me as a survivor of sexual assault. She said that she came to work in my administration because of all the progress we had made in fighting sexual assault. She talked about the personal trauma that she endured and how she was handling it. I could see how it had affected her. I could see her pain. She identified herself to me as a survivor of sexual assault. She said that she came to work in my...
Now, I thought this was one of the weirdest parts of his video because he really was not only trying to deflect blame, but also he was trying to make himself into this sympathetic hero who was, you know, he wasn't asking her inappropriate questions because he's a freak. He was asking them because he really cares. Well, Charlotte Bennett was actually on CBS with Nora O'Donnell, and she had a great interview. And listen to what she had to say about this very strange gaslighting from Andrew Cuomo. Cut five.
The governor admitted that he asked you questions that he doesn't normally ask people because you told him you're a survivor of sexual assault. Do you think he's gaslighting you?
Absolutely. He's trying to justify himself by making me out to be someone who can't tell the difference between sexual harassment and mentorship. We have a report. We have the facts. The governor broke federal and state law when he sexually harassed me and current and former staffers. And if he's not willing to step down, then we have a responsibility to act and impeach him. He sexually harassed me. I am not confused. It is not confusing. I am living in reality, and it's sad to see that he's not.
And at one point, he said that he was trying to help you work through a difficult time. Did that seem like that was his intention?
No. His intention was trying to sleep with me.
Really, though, I have to say again, I've said it a couple of times now, but good for these women. I mean, talk about bravery, especially going against a creep like Andrew Cuomo, who's such a bully and has been for decades. Now, speaking of Charlotte Bennett, there's more audio because there's a leaked phone call of Cuomo singing a song to her. And we're going to play that. The Democrats have this obsession with singing. I think we need to buy them a karaoke machine and just, you know, get it out of their systems because they can't hold a tune. We will be back with more of that. More Charlotte Bennett in her interview, more about Cuomo, and then Brad Palumbo at 12:30. Really great show plan, so please stick with us. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
After the Me Too movement, they did absolutely nothing when it came to sexual harassment. They have always diminished the charges of women. Always, consistently. And they're doing it again. To cheapen or ridicule the pain a woman suffers from a sexual attack.
Let's hold Andrew Cuomo to his own standards. He had such high standards, such unreasonable standards with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And we have a lot more evidence, real evidence against him than we ever did about Brett Kavanaugh. So I want to, you know, take him at his word and really bring some justice here. Now, before I get to the calls, 844-500-4242, I did tease this. So Charlotte Bennett was on with Nora O'Donnell. Let's play a little bit of her. This is cut four.
Today was so validating and really emotional, and I feel vindicated. It's been a long day, but I'm proud to be a New Yorker right now.
Now, Charlotte Bennett is one of the women who's accusing Andrew Cuomo of sexual harassment. And if you needed any more proof other than the report yesterday, listen to this phone call of Andrew Cuomo serenading Charlotte Bennett. It is so strange. Cut three.
Hello.
Hi, Governor.
Yeah.
This is Charlotte.
Okay. Are you ready?
I am ready.
You don't know that song?
No.
Before your time.
It's before my time, but I appreciated the singing.
Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? Do you care?
I'll have to listen now.
Yep. It's like a 50s. It's before even my time.
Oh, there you go. That's, now I have less of an excuse.
You ready?
Yes.
And by the way, just to add another one, the Department of Health doctor who performed a live COVID test in front of TV cameras on the governor in May of last year is now saying that he sexually harassed her as well. Off camera while preparing for a press conference, Cuomo asked the woman, referred to as state entity employee number two by the report, to not put up the swab so deep that you hit my brain. She replied that she would be gentle but accurate in carrying out the test, to which Cuomo replied, gentle but accurate. I've heard that before. The doctor said she felt the governor was trying to make a joke of an implied sexual nature. He then on air, I remember this, told her that he said, nice to see you, doctor. You make that gown look good. It's pretty amazing how much confidence he had that this was never going to come back to bite him. A lot of this stuff was on TV. I remember that weird video where he was asking the reporter if she could put the whole sausage in her mouth or something. This guy is, he's done this so many times. It's pretty amazing it's taken this long. But I have to say about the singing, between that, This Land Is Your Land by Ed Markey and the Democrats, and then the Texas Democrats singing We Shall Overcome, it's got to stop. We can't take it anymore.
Danny boy,
oh, I forgot.
The pipes are calling.
Someone's calling for Andrew Cuomo, but I don't think it's Danny boy. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. Good to be on the show. I think Chris Cuomo's toast. I think his brother was protecting him, and that job meant everything for him. And now that Cuomo's going, he's gone. And Chris is going to be gone, too. I also think we're at the peak of wokeism. I think we're going to really swing back in the 2022 elections.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see a swing back into the right. So thanks so much for the time, Grace. Have a great day.
Adam, great call, and we so appreciate it. I think you're right. The pendulum does seem like it's about to swing back. When we talk about this eviction moratorium, and I read you a story from the Washington Post and talk to Brad Palumbo, I think people will understand just how crazy this world has gotten. But to your point about Cuomo, I agree. And I don't like to just say I have a feeling, because I know that doesn't really explain it. But watching even that little cut of Chris Cuomo say, we're sticking with COVID today, you know, until this Delta variant's under control. I did get the sense that even he knows the time is up. And by the way, there's plenty of people who have siblings who aren't good people, and it doesn't reflect on them. But those people don't get on TV every night and try to lecture Republicans and Ron DeSantis and everybody else about their moral bankruptcy. You know, he's in a very hypocritical situation right now. We will be back with Brad Palumbo from the Washington Examiner. You're not going to want to miss this. It's a Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I want to get right into this next interview. I'm very excited to talk to Brad Palumbo. He is the policy correspondent for fee.org. He's also a fabulous contributor for the DC Examiner and National Review. I love all of his work, and I encourage you guys to check it out. I tweeted some of those out just a little while ago. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the Grace Curley Show for the first time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a Bellingham native, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, awesome. All right, Brad. So what I want to start with is your piece on Representative Cori Bush's disturbing childish attempt to silence debate. And I want to start with the the reasoning behind why you say the moratorium was always constitutionally suspect, as you put it, not just because of what it did, but because of who issued it. Can you kind of break that down for the audience?
Yeah, so the eviction moratorium was issued actually during the Trump administration in September 2020, where the CDC director unilaterally, with citing some vague law that allows him to take measures like ordering disinfection to reduce the spread of disease, decided that he could declare a halt to all evictions nationwide, for except for a few exceptions, on the basis of some law. So we had one unelected bureaucrat at top of the CDC issue a nationwide halt to the rental market, basically, and basically confiscate landlords' property without compensation, which is flagrantly unconstitutional. So the whole policy was always a pretty crazy unconstitutional power grab from the get-go.
And what I loved is that you point out that these unelected health officials, I've been seeing it all over social media. They'll come out with a statement on illegal immigration or on the border or on, you know, eviction moratoriums. And I'm thinking to myself, did I elect, you know, Dr. Rochelle Walensky or Dr. Fauci? Were they on the ballot at some point?
It's scary. You know, one of the things Trump accurately identified was the idea of a deep state. Right. And what else can you call bureaucrats who can unilaterally who aren't elected, who don't need Congress, can just make sweeping laws that bind the whole country with the stroke of a pen? It's disturbing. It's not the system our founders intended, but it is increasingly where we're headed. And the CDC now just extended the moratorium, even though the Supreme Court has literally said you don't have the authority to do that. You need to pass a law through Congress. So we are witnessing some pretty unlawful and dangerous stuff.
A part of this column I really liked, because I think when people hear about this and they hear that it's, you know, wreaking chaos on the rental housing market, they might say to themselves, if they're not renting property or if they're not a landlord or a tenant, they might say to themselves, well, why? I don't really understand what the big deal is. But you break it down with a grocery store analogy. Can you kind of tell that to my audience? I thought this was really, really enlightening.
Yeah, so I mean, just think about the eviction moratorium as a little bit complicated, but think about it like this. It's essentially as if the government said you are able to go into a grocery store, fill up your cart with food, and walk out without paying. That's essentially what the eviction moratorium is, because people can just occupy units without paying, and there's no way to force them to pay. So everyone can see how that would not be sustainable. If the government was going to do anything, and this is debatable, right, but if it was going to do anything, it should have done something like food stamps, where they gave the money to renters to pay their rent. In fact, they gave them tons of unemployment benefits and other things. But what it did instead was say, oh, you don't have to pay the rent at all, which is basically like that grocery store analogy. And imagine what would happen if we did that with grocery stores. The shelves would run bare. And we're seeing across the country, property owners are taking their units off the market. They're letting them sit empty, because why rent it out when people don't have to pay you? It's just insanity, and it's wreaking havoc on this market. And the people defending it, like Cori Bush, who this column is about, their only argument is emotional. They don't even bother to make serious policy debates. And even worse, she accuses anyone who disagrees with her of, just by the virtue of the ideas, committing policy violence. That's a real quote a congresswoman actually said.
Yeah, and you break down how if you start throwing that out there, that someone who disagrees with you and is making a rational argument is committing policy violence, then it's really hard for the other side to argue, because suddenly you're being accused of being this evil monster instead of someone who wants to kind of, and I know you're a very big proponent of debate and free speech, and so I understand why that bothered you so much, her comments. But Brad, I want to read you this and get your reaction, because I think this is something you just touched on. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, we never should have reached this point. The Emergency Rental Assistance Program, signed into law by Mr. Trump in December, provided $25 billion to help tenants pay their rent. Another relief bill signed by President Biden in March offered an additional $21.5 billion. But less than 10% of these funds have been dispersed. Landlords are complaining that they can't pay their bills for taxes, utilities, and maintenance. So what we're also seeing is a lot of people who are getting money in relief aren't using it to pay their rent.
Well, yeah, we're seeing two things. One, a lot of the relief money isn't even ending up in the people's hands, right? It hasn't gotten to the people. And that should be your first sign that big government can't fix our problems. when you're allocating 50 plus billion and a few billion are actually getting to people's hands, where is that going? That's all government incompetence and waste. And people have gotten stimulus checks. They've gotten these insane unemployment benefits that pay more than many jobs. And so they can pay their rent. There never actually was before the moratorium. The moratorium was only put in place in September of 2020, but the pandemic started in March of 2020. And during those intervening months, there was not a massive, wide-scale eviction crisis, tons of people being thrown on the streets. That wasn't the case. So it was always an unnecessary and unlawful policy. And the Biden administration has literally admitted we don't have the constitutional authority to do this, according to almost every scholar we've talked to. But let's give it a shot anyway. And that's really disgraceful.
Yeah. And I'm glad you point out Representative Cori Bush, because she was with AOC. They're sitting on the steps of the Capitol, you know, complaining about this. They sat there for hours or days. And I'm glad you bring this up, because as much as the argument is emotionally manipulative and it's not based on any sort of logic, it worked. They managed to bully Joe Biden into kind of bending the knee and doing what they're saying. What do you see playing out now, Brad, going forward? If he knows, he's admitted that this is not constitutional, what happens next?
Well, what I would like to see is the Supreme Court, and this will require Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts actually showing a little bit of spine. They step up and they slap this down. They specifically said, you can't do this. They need to immediately issue a halt to this as soon as they can. But also, this is a concerning sign for the future, because the Biden administration did bend over to these far-left radicals. They're supposed to be the moderates, right? Joe Biden, we were told, it's never been true, but they're supposed to be moderates. And yet, on many issues, they're caving to the AOC, Cori Bush wing of the far-left Democrat Party. And that's really concerning, because those people have dangerous ideas. And their arguments are only emotional, but we need to make an emotional argument. We have the facts. We have the logic on this issue of the eviction moratorium. But let's also talk about the victims of the moratorium, the millions of working class and middle class landlords who have been bankrupted by this cruel, unconstitutional government policy. We need to fight back in terms of taking this debate to its fully charged level.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was actually reading an old piece today from May from the Washington Post, and it's called The Battle for 1042 Cutler Street. And it's about that exactly. It's about how these people, these landlords who are being characterized as villains, what they're going through right now is heartbreaking. It is emotional. I got emotional reading it. These people have poured their whole lives into these properties and they're just getting totally screwed. But Brad, I did want to switch gears here. You have a great piece in fee.org, and it's about, despite Delta alarmism, U.S. COVID deaths are at lowest level since March 2020. You talk a little bit about how the good news about the Delta variant is being tossed aside for alarmism. Can you kind of fill in my listeners on what that good news is?
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the graph of COVID, daily COVID deaths in the United States, where we are at there was these two massive peaks, one in spring of 2020 and one this past winter and fall. We are at a trough that is much, much, much lower than any of those peaks. We're at a level of deaths that is the lowest it's been in the last month or so since March of 2020. So things are actually going well, but there's all this media panic and politicians kind of with this alarmist rhetoric over the Delta variant, because it spreads more and you have more case counts. But people aren't dying. The vaccines work, and the truly vulnerable people have been vaccinated. So most of the people getting sick are young and healthy, and COVID's not actually that much of a threat. So things are good, but they're painting this alarmist picture of the situation, because that's how they justify renewing the power grabs and infringements into our liberty and our lives.
Yeah, and specifically towards the end of your piece, you cite other examples in history where this has happened. And it is chilling to think about that this is all about retaining power and having this control over people, even when the science that we've been told to follow doesn't match up with the rhetoric.
Yeah, I mean, look at what the CDC is doing. The eviction moratorium was supposed to be temporary. They've extended it like four times now. The unemployment benefits were supposed to be temporary. They've been extended and extended by the federal government. And now the COVID rules are becoming permanent. I wouldn't be surprised if you have mask mandates in some part of the countries into perpetuity, frankly, because there always will be some disease or some virus or something they can point to and say, oh, you need to give us more emergency powers. Gavin Newsom in California still has not relinquished his emergency powers that let him spend billions of dollars and rewrite statewide laws with a stroke of a pen. That's the thing about big government that people need to understand. They will always try to scare you and exploit emergencies to retain control over our lives and invade our liberties. And we have to be constantly vigilant against that.
Yeah, I always say emergencies are in the eye of the beholder. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we're going to be hearing about these emergencies. I am kind of surprised, though, Brad, because I knew they would try this again. I'm just surprised at how soon they're trying it. I thought they might wait for the midterms to bring back all of this, you know, panic porn. But they do seem kind of addicted. As far as emergency powers go, what do you think is the solution? You know, for people who are saying, all right, well, what do we do in the future to prevent, you know, governors or mayors or anyone from telling us how we can live or whether we can open our business? What's the next step for people?
Well, one solution is to vote with your feet. And lots of people are moving to Florida and other states that have said, we're not going to lock you down. We're not going to destroy your business. We're not going to destroy your livelihood or invade your individual liberty. And that is one of the great things about America, is that we have this federalist system where different states can do different things. And we will eventually have to, I think, pack up and move to parts of the country that aren't going to do this, and at the local level, push back on these things. Because I will say this, turn off CNN and talk to average people who are Democrats or liberals or live in my mom's street in Rhode Island, right? They don't actually support this insanity. So we can, I think, have enough pushback at the local level to defeat this in the places that aren't, you know, the truest leftist bastions like California or New York City.
I absolutely agree. Brad Palumbo, everyone can follow Brad at Brad_Palumbo on Twitter. He's the policy correspondent for thefee.org and the contributor for DC Examiner and National Review. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love all your work. Hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks.
All right, guys, when we get back, I'm going to read you this story that I was just mentioning to Brad that really, it's an emotional story about what's really happening here when you extend this eviction moratorium and you allow people not to pay their rent. There are victims. You know, there are people who are suffering because of this. And it's not the people that the mainstream media wants you to believe. It's a lot of times it's these landlords who are desperate and heartbroken about what's happening to their properties, to their finances, to their livelihoods. We're going to get into that. We have a lot more show to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I like what Brad Palumbo from the DC Examiner said about voting with your feet. And it reminds me that Libby Emmons said today, we're requiring New Yorkers to show medical papers to allow them to participate in society will be the end of my relationship with New York City. As of yesterday, I am actively trying to leave the only place that's ever in all of my life felt like home to me. And when you read the responses to that tweet, good, go, we don't need you here. Well, that's what's going to start happening. Everyone's going to go. So I'm glad for the diehard fascists in New York who want everyone to have to show their papers. But I don't think it's going to end up playing out that well for residents of New York who decide to stay. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. I love these soaps. I got to get a couple more. They smell so good, and they don't leave that sticky film on your skin. Love your soap. Love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's. CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will landlords be allowed to try to collect rent by Thanksgiving?
No. I don't think so.
65% of the audience thinks no, they will not.
Ian, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, Grace. I was wondering, did you catch Greg Kelly yesterday? He's got a completely different take on the Cuomo thing. He thinks it's a witch hunt. It's, you know, sort of like the Democrats eating their own type of thing. and you know, maybe even to take the focus off of Biden and his history with that kind of behavior.
Well, I don't think there's any question that there's a double standard when Joe Biden's lecturing people on inappropriate touching. He's the sniffer in chief. But I don't think it's a witch hunt. I mean, all of these stories the women told, the state trooper, her testimony or whatever you want to call it, her comments about it, she had witnesses there. And we saw that woman on TV. I'm not saying every single one of these, like him telling someone you make that gown look good, is a reason to toss them out. But when you put them all together and the groping, this is physical stuff he was doing. I don't think it's a witch hunt. I didn't see that, Ian, but I disagree with Greg Kelly on that. I just wanted to mention one more thing here because I was just talking about Brad Palumbo's piece, and I really like the end of it. He says, emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguards of individual liberty have eroded. As Nobel Prize winning economist Friedrich Hayek put it, and once they are suspended, it is not difficult for anyone who has assumed emergency powers to see to it that the emergency will persist. Examples of this timeless truth abound throughout history up until present day, from the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II to the now permanent infringements on our civil liberties after 9/11 to the sweeping expansion of government control during the COVID-19 pandemic. But whether politicians like it or not, the COVID-19 crisis is largely over. So don't fall for cynical arguments from power-hungry individuals who want their emergency powers to become permanent. I think there's a lot of people who want this to become permanent. And the eviction moratorium, I'm going to save my Washington Post piece for the 1 o'clock hour because it's fabulous and I want to read the whole thing. But it's pretty amazing that Biden has admitted so many times that he knows this does not have any legs. He knows that constitutionally this is a farce. And yet he's still being bullied by the left. Let's play cut 27, please, Jared.
The answer is twofold. One, I've sought out constitutional scholars to determine what is the best possibility that would come from executive action or the CDC's judgment. What could they do that was most likely to pass muster constitutionally?
There's not a lot they can do, and he knows it, but damn, he's going to try anyway. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.